when your organization is absolutely set on vanity metrics and things like clicks, and you yourself, well, you're focused on the KPIs that matter even more now than before. Engagement, retention, this is what matters to you, doesn't matter to them. So what do you do when you work in CRM, when you're expected to drive loyalty? So now you have to play a balance. Well, we're going to talk about how you can deal with this disconnect, how you can achieve this balance. My co-host is back, so we've got a double dose of goodness. My guest is a marketing and CRM leader. Her name is Vanessa Chutuk, and she's back for an encore because, Vanessa, you have been here before. And Jim Lorraine, our data guy, back from previous episodes. So both of you are here. It is great. It's like we can get the party started.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And I'm so happy to be back and talk about this.
Absolutely. Jim, you're back. You're always going to be here, actually. You are going to be here just like furniture every time we talk about CRM, loyalty, retention, and these KPIs.
I love it. Thank you for having me. Retention is one of those that everyone talks about, but nobody really defines. So I'm personally really excited because I know Vanessa has a lot of experience in this area. So I'm ready.
Absolutely. As I said, it's an encore because, Vanessa, you might remember, and maybe we'll have a little B-roll to even show it, because you were here when you were responsible for all CRM communication and development at Sleep Cycle. But no, now you are a consultant, you're a thought leader, and you've got a new gig. What have you been up to since then?
Yeah, I decided it's time to free fly and be my own consultant, and I'm super excited about that. I have at the moment two clients that I'm working with, and I'm helping them with CRM, retention, customer growth. They are in completely different industries, so I get all the learnings, all the how-tos, and no pros and cons with all the approach. But at the same time, I get to implement what I learn at one client and transfer it over to the other client. So that's really, really beneficial for me.
So I'll kick it off. And it's about those KPIs that roll up to the prize, retention, which we will ask you to also define a little bit, because to Jim's point, we all define it differently. So I'm fascinated that we are still defining concepts like retention at this point. Basically, what is your definition of it, Vanessa? And what does an engaged user look like to you?
Yeah, CRM KPIs is all about engagement. That's our core. So we really care about how often users are coming back to that service, that product that we are promoting, how deeply immersed are they in that product? Like how are they interacting with the product when they are interacting with the product? We also want to see what are they consuming when they are interacting, like what type of content are they using? So all this like depth and frequency and type of like it's all it matters to us at CRM, and it matters for our retention KPIs that we measure those KPIs and see like do we manage to engage them, so we don't need to rely on the acquisition and new users coming all the time. We want to like immerse the experience for the users that are already there.
That's pretty cool, Jim. It's a retention equals immersion.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. I'd love to get your thoughts. So a lot of apps that I work with just work purely on time. So retention means user has done something in 7 days, 30 days, 15 days. It really depends on the app. I'm sure you've kind of seen the same thing. So when we talk about immersion and depth for engagement, is there a practical takeaway that somebody could have on how to look beyond the 7 days? Is that what you do? Is there something more in depth that you use to like look at retention or engagement over time?
The frequency is important, and we tend to use those market benchmarks that are always there, like day one retention, day seven retention, day 30 the retention, because that's easy to lean back to, because that's commonly used. But I would say like that's really like just scraping the surface because that's just describes something, but we want to know when they come back whenever it is in that specific industry. For example, now when I'm working with the gaming industry, it's totally different when working with the meditation apps, or when you're having the sleep cycle, like when you have an app for sleep, it's like completely different behavioral patterns. So those you need to uncover for that specific product and service, like what is that? And when they come back, like, and how often, what do they do then? What do, like, do they consume only new content that we've been producing, like the latest product release or the latest meditation recording, or maybe they are like just liking some top consumer content, and we don't need to produce new all the time. Like maybe they just like something specific, like top five, and that could in turn also help the content people. So we don't need to produce and reproduce new material. Maybe that's super efficient to reuse. So I would say it's super different from industry to industry to uncover this. It's, you cannot streamline that when those frequencies are. You can start with those, like 1 day, 7 day, 30 day, but then you need to uncover for that specific product what is.
Do you mind if I step back? Sorry, I did what I usually do. I hopped into data because I got excited, but I would like to step back. I was doing an exercise last week and I was looking into, you know, how to grow engagement. And so the first thing my head went to is ads. And I think everybody's does, right? Like ads. And then you're like, oh, and retention, right? It always seems to be like this. Oh, and CRM, right? So I'm curious. I would hope that, you know, if someone is hiring a consultant for CRM, it hopefully means that in their mind, they value it more than average, right? Because they're actually seeking someone out to do this work. But from my experience, I would love to understand, why do you think people think of ads first before CRM? And then what do you think CRM people can do to help change that perception so people think about CRM before ads?
It's different part of the funnel. It's like you gotta make them come in, and then those that you engage with and that are your users, those will see the value of CRM engagement, everything that we can do together with product, like you do the challenges, the quizzes, the gamifications, the all these cool stuff that you get when you are part of the community of ours. So that is definitely a way to lift it through the ads. For example, in the gaming industry, it's very popular to have like features like a gaming calendar, and you are part of this community that it does this around this game, etc. So that could be definitely something that to lift up, because people search for that and they want to belong to someone, etc. So it depends which industry it is. Definitely.
If it is about depth and immersion, and we're having difficulty even really defining what would be, you know, an indicator or a pre-indicator of that to begin with, it's probably just a lot easier to go for acquisition because you can define it. You either have them or you don't, right? You acquired them, you didn't. And maybe also a little bit of that short-term thinking that I think we just inherited from where this came from, performance marketing. Yeah. You know, you push this lever, you do this thing, and that thing happens. It's so wonderfully causal and so comforting, you know?
But not cheap.
Isn't it not like not cheap? And also, like, I'm thinking this short-termness that you're mentioning is also something that is not specific for CRM. That's why I love working for CRM, because it's relationship building and it's engagement, and it takes time, and let it take time. So it doesn't need to be something that is like a quick fix and like a button click. I'm thinking now about a lot of ads, Jim, that we've been discussing that are like really like you don't want to be part of that at all.
I want to make a picture of a funnel because it's, and I want to make it accurate. I've done some similar things. But one thing is there's a business of app statistic that like after 30 days, you're down to, I forget if it's 5 or 2.5% of the users you acquire. So I think the traditional model of like customer acquisition cost is way wrong because it's not, you shouldn't measure it off of the somebody's first day on the app. If you measured it after 30 days, what would it look like? Because now you'd be, you know what I mean? Like if my cost to acquire is $1 per user, but I only keep 2.5% of the users after 30 days, that should affect my metric. So I think, you know, you gave some good examples a second ago, but I think organizationally, you have power in CRM to push up, right? To kick up, to show management your value above UA. I'm curious for people who are like in your role in CRM, but how do you effectively like push up and show your value compared to UA to kind of fight for your own space?
I'm so sad to hear that it's a fight. But like a collaborative, like we have different perspectives that we see about on the user, about user, like what we see. And it's good because that's how it should be. But at some point we need to align, of course. And I thought about this and it's like, I see from my perspective, CRM is like in the middle. And then we have like this product, customer service, marketing, data, and to prove our existence or like our point and like, why do we need to be here? What role do we play? What do we contribute to? For example, recently we had like difficulties and like declining trend on the app reviews. On one of the clients, and we just quickly did something in the system where we engaged with a certain segment of the users, and we boosted that. Like it was like 70% boost for the app reviews, or for the product. Like oh, they want to test a lot of features, but it takes time and it takes resources. And there you have the CRM where we can test out things and little A/B tests just to see if that works. So for me, throughout the career, it has worked to have this little proof of concept, you can call them like MVPs, towards those suspicious departments or where we have a difficulty to prove the point. And it works. You have to show us something practical. You have to show a little bit, like, look how much, imagine what we could do if we do it at scale.
You basically answered it. You find the problem that the business is looking to solve and you show them that you can solve it. Because I've worked with a mm-hmm. lot of CRM departments that
yeah.
feel like they're not a collaborative partner, but feel like it's, you know, you're the one who has to send this out. Product has a promotion. This people have a promotion. Yeah. Send out what you're supposed to send out. And that's your job.
I know.
It's just send stuff out. So the fact you've laid it out very well. And I think it's for anybody listening, you know, asking the questions of what are the business needs? What do we want to learn? What are we trying to solve? What problem do we have? Like the reviews is a great example, or, you know, product testing is a great, how can I get this data for you to help you? Having a collaborative. So I think you need to break out of the cycle of like just send it because you're the person who sends things, and ask questions of the business. What are we trying to do that's more meaningful and show your value and data? I know you do it, which is fantastic, but I think a lot of people struggle in that regard. So I think that's a very good response.
I feel that what you are describing at the moment is like that the CRM is seen as a tactical department and operative and like operational more than a strategic, and we aim to be a strategic one as well. So to get the seat at the strategic one, if you are not that already, I think this is a very good approach to have, like test something little that is a pain point through a CRM tool, or like just solve something practical and prove, and then it's easier to have a discussion about those things in the future. So you don't end up in this executional role only.
Makes a lot of sense. It's like, you know, show, don't tell, because one of the questions I was going to ask you is like, you know, this is a conversation. How does this, you know, how do you do this? How do you deal with things like, you know, the blame game internally when someone says, oh, it's product's fault. No, it's marketing. No, it's CRM. You don't even get involved there because it's going to be a losing game anyway. What you do is you find something to fix. I don't think there's going to be an answer for this, but I'm going to ask you anyway, Vanessa, because you are a CRM expert, but could you give me some guidance, give our audience some guidance on what to pinpoint to test? Because you said, oh, we did some A/B testing for product and basically proved some hypotheses or disproved them and also saved them time and effort because they can't test everything. Is there any place where you can like zero in on if you're a CRM professional and say, that's where I can show the value I contribute and I don't even need to explain it?
Yeah, like it depends from which industry and what it is. But I would say if we talk about like a product perspective, which is always resource and time consuming to develop that feature that we want to develop, it would be like, does it make sense to have this calendar? Can we send a survey and ask our highly engaged users to have the game calendar? Because we know it will take, 2 to 3 months, and we have a backlog and we need to have, I don't know how many developers doing that and skisses and Figma charts and boards and everything. Can we save anything with us like sending this or testing it in a smaller scale with the very high engaged users that this actually works for us? Because we heard that it's a good feature to have for the gaming industry. And so let's just test it small and have a minimum viable product for that. Or some kind of gamification feature that is like, you are a winner and you are winning streak, something small. We can do that and test it in CRM before it gets like super project and big and everybody's involved, etc. So what I heard the other day on one of the podcasts, it was a meditation app, and it was like also had this 7 day, 30 day, 14 day coming, are they coming back after these periods? And they had like 14 day challenge, and they introduced a new meditation for every day. And they noticed in the data, they were like, but they are consuming only 5 of them. They're just reusing. They come back, but then they listen again to certain meditations. So they were like, my God, we can really make it more efficient. We don't need to consume, we don't need to produce new content, which is time consuming and resource consuming again. We can do it just like, uncovering the data, and we can present it to them in a new way to that certain segment and reuse the content. Those type of discoveries that you can do in your data by just like looking at it from a different perspective are the ways to test out before it gets bigger than it has to be.
I've seen a lot of similar things that are meant to increase engagement that backfire. I think of the one that always comes to mind is there's an app that always sent like a 3 missed calls from your shopping cart. You know, so you see 3 missed calls and you click it because it's, oh, I missed a call. You know, that gets your attention. And then you realize that it's an abandoned cart message from e-commerce and you kind of feel cheated. So it's like, this is the mismatch of like KPI of engagement versus like completed checkout. Cause what you see is a very low completed checkout for a message like that, even though it has high engagement. So this is where we get into engagement depth. But on the content standpoint, it's really funny. I call it like the Blue's Clues methodology. So you could probably Google this and I may be wrong, but I've heard that they run the same episode of Blue's Clues for a week, And then they could do the next episode of Blue's Clues for a week, but they run the same episode for a week. And it was driving parents nuts. But to your point, Vanessa, like the meditation app, when someone goes to a meditation app, they maybe don't want the same meditation or a new meditation every day because I've grown comfortable. I want one that I'm comfortable mm-hmm. with and I know what's coming next. So it's yes. not jarring. I can like be yes. in that moment. So we kind of discover yes. some of these things through data. And then it's funny because we have to like backdate, like, why does this make sense? You know, why do kids like the same episode of Blue's Clues? And then you have to like go into the psychology and be like, oh, because children, like the world is scary and the world is new. And so seeing the same content can be comforting. And in a lot of the ways, especially with something like meditation, we are the same way. So I actually wanted to ask, because I find this yeah. really interesting. Surveys are one thing that I'm very interested in because people often don't do what they say they do. Right. Yeah, I'll pledge money to that. And then they don't. And also response rates tend yeah. to be very low. But there's another point in there, too, which is I don't always want to ask my highest engaged users things, which is counterintuitive. But they're already my highest engaged users. What I want to figure out is if 2% of my population is active and 98% of them are relatively inactive, how do I get the 98 to contribute? And it's probably not the same way that I get the 2% to contribute, right? So if I'm going to introduce a new feature and I ask my highly engaged users if they like it and they say yes or no, it may not apply to, you know, the 60% of my population that I'm actually trying to engage. So I'm curious from your side, like where there's very few CRM people I can ask this question because, you know, you have the experience in this area. You're not just a button pusher. How do you get that data from the people who aren't motivated necessarily to figure out what would motivate them in a way that's actually, you know, correct, I'm going to say, instead of like the broad survey?
My first thought is like not all the 98% are my users. So as you also from the AMP perspective, we're also talking about like this segment that is just below the 2% or just below the 10%. Like they are doing something, but not everything that we want them to do. So they are like ticking some boxes that we decided, like what is defining the highly engaged, the middle engaged, and the low engaged. Like we have more segments than just like a chunk of 98%. So I would dice there more to be able to ask the correct questions to that crowd, to that crowd, to that crowd, so I get as truthful as possible answers to those questions that are survey questions. But yeah, you are like immediately like, oh, our highest engaged users, they know us, they are us, they are like our brand loyalty club members, you know, like so that's the first one that you go to. But yeah, you have to consider those things that they are not answering maybe truthfully, and they are like in some, maybe they just experience something really bad with your product and they are not answering correctly for their overall experience, etc. So and or had a bad day or whatever. So those psychological aspects are also to be considered.
Jim, how about a couple more of what I'll call your dirty tricks to increase engagement? I mean, the shopping cart's a good one. What about some others? Because maybe also, again, for our audience, they'll see themselves in that and realize, as we are realizing in the gaming space, for example, that, you know, that fake ads or ads that make people do things that you want them to do, they backfire. And they backfire big time.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot. You know, and each industry is a little bit different. E-commerce, it's discount, discount, discount. There's a lot where you don't connect the message to an actual like deep link within the app. So that's another one, though. I click and there's something that it makes me feel like I'm going to see something. And then I don't. Like I'm just on the app. It's a really rookie move, but it happens quite frequently that people don't deep link well. You expected to see something and now you're just at the homepage and you're like, what? Like, which is a really big discontinuous jump in the user experience. And I think a lot of this comes back to, again, if I am grading my CRM team, you get more of what you reward. If I'm grading my CRM team by clicks, I will get more clicks. They will not be the ones that I want, but I will get more. And even speaking beyond CRM, I've talked to so many people on the UA side that say the people who come in, the users, customers who come in on discounts, on deals, on buy one, get one free, on whatever, are the worst customers, period. And especially with subscription too, like you don't value the product. You just came in because of it's a free trial or something. So as a business, you just have to understand, is it a value to me to carry the load of those users who I acquire for free and deal with it? You might get bad app store reviews, right? They're not free. There is a load to maintaining them, not just data costs and things like that. Is that worth it to, you know, get potentially what drips out of the funnel at the other end? And if you don't have a CRM superstar like Vanessa, then it may not be, because they may not stick around anyway, right? So there's no point in acquiring them. So yeah, so I see a lot of this, but a lot of it organizationally comes down to how KPIs are given to CRM versus other groups in the organization. And the source of that is because they can't measure things. So if I can't actually measure a dollar outcome for my CRM, like we've done this so many times, what is each push notification cost you? What does each SMS cost you as far as what does it gain you, right? So one, SMS costs, right? People don't think push notification costs, but it does. But what does each individual message worth? So we found out for one retailer, for example, that it was 40 cents gained for every message they sent. And if you view it that way, which nobody does, they didn't even know what to do with the data because nobody thinks of it that way. But that means if I send less intelligently, then the value of each message goes up. Right now, I want to optimize the return value of each notification I send. If you view it that way, it becomes like a seesaw. Like I want to reduce the loss and increase the gain, and it's a balance, right? So it's just an interesting perspective that I see very, very few companies do, but with data should be a much more common practice, in my opinion.
And I guess with the omnichannel orchestration, like what channels do we, does it make sense to send this content, and at which point in the user journey, et cetera?
Yeah.
So then we need like orchestration.
Yeah. And if you have different tools managing all of it, it's another nightmare. So if my revenue is over here and my email's here, and my SMS is here, and my push is here, then how do I track how many times I've touched a single person? But my new definition for personalization is number of, number of conversions over number of touches or interactions. So when you're defining how well is personalization work, I think most people, they don't have like a metric how well, or you might just look at orders or things like that. Did my orders increase? But to me, it's a balance. You have to look at the number of conversions, whatever that is for you, games played, orders, you know, shopping, whatever, over your number of touches. And if number of touches should go down, number of orders should go up, and that should get you what your personalization score is.
So more activity in your app doesn't always equal more dollars and doesn't also necessarily show more valuable engagement. So how does that factor in to what you're trying to do, which is align your KPIs with your company's KPIs? It's basically making certain you have the same goal, but then again, it's not always going to be revenues, and that's always tough because that's usually what the company's looking at.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why I love CRM and the long-termness, and love that it's not only these discounts and all these short-termness, as we also mentioned before, that is not the core of CRM. But of course we can mix it up, and you should mix it up. So you have like upsell and cross-sell campaigns that you are like trying to engage in one sense, and then you have the engagement campaigns that are more like relationship building ones, especially through emails. That is like the level of conscious about it is important at senior management, so they know that it takes time. It's a machinery that needs to work. It's an orchestration of all these different channels that eventually bring value with these tools that we are using, and the content and the frequency and all of that. That is all the levels that we need to consider to have that user journey orchestrated in the right way so that it also brings revenue. But we are not in it for the quick wins, for quick fixes, discounts. Like that's one of the reasons I like CRM, because that's not the end goal. But of course, it brings revenue. Whenever we do a campaign that is like on top of everything else, it always brings revenue. It always brings engagement, and hopefully the right kind of engagement. But like that too needs to be strategically planned. It's not just like some department says, okay, send out that campaign. That then it never works. Then it's always this fake engagement. But when you have a strategy, when you have a email marketing strategy, when you have CRM strategy, then those things don't happen. You have it all planned, and it's like a balance thing.
What are the pieces that you're adding, and like what is the output that you see? How are you able to attribute that and kind of show your value back within the business?
Recently, we were adding we were revisiting the pain points for a customer and really tapping into that at the right point in their journey. And that showed to be very efficient to do at that point with that specific pain point that we tried out. And I just want to emphasize how important it is to A/B test these things, because you have all these hypotheses that you are guessing. You know, we had this conversation as well, Jim, where we are based on our past behavior, based on our benchmarks, based on best practice, and you have it in your luggage when you enter the clients, of course. But then you have to test it out and see what works for them. Beyond discovering like these new pain points, the new industry, the new, like I've experiencing now as a consultant. So I'm testing all the time, like different ways of expressing, not to mention like design of everything and the CTAs and the subject lines and all of that. It's like, don't need to explain that even, but the concept of testing things is also something that there is no way that you can just like copy paste and do it in the same, like you, it's very specific on that customer and then that user that should be a part of all these. When you want to prove a point, we need to test it. We need to test it with, it's like a hypothesis.
And to your point on not all engagement is engagement, then how do you show your incremental value?
Either there is a control group, or there is like a period when we didn't have that, or we didn't do that. So there is some part that was not part of that test, or there was not that pain point. I see the increase from having it versus not having it. I want to when you were explaining this full funnel view, where you want to see like how much did my campaign contribute to engagement, and then how much did my campaign contribute to conversions, and those conversions are usually in that other system, it's not in your system. So there is this challenge of the full funnel view I've all the time needing meeting those challenges with the full funnel view, where you are full of data of the engagement KPIs, and then comes the revenue or conversion or like how did it affect this bottom line result. That's something that is like also from the experience I've had like a very thorough testing done for that specific purpose. It was a project to prove the point, so we can move on and we don't have to discuss this anymore. Are we making an impact on the bottom line with our campaigns? Unfortunately, it needs to be done all the time for some reason. I don't know why this awareness is not there yet.
To your point, yes, great segue. We do have to move on. We do have to start wrapping this up. And we wrap it up with some rapid fire questions that also, you know, keep that ticking along in your brain because they're not simple. They're not simple at all. So I'll kick it off. Retention, fairly standard definition. We started off the show with that. Now churn's a very different one and we are still defining it. Sometimes it's about days, weeks, months. Other times it's about behavior. How do you define it?
I think about anti-churn. So churn is when they are gone, but I like just before they're gone, just because the start is slowly dying out, I want to catch them so they don't churn. Churn for me is like a period when you see there is a lack of engagement, lack of interaction, whereas it has been before, but then it stopped.
So what's your go-to anti-churn technique? Is there any activity you'd recommend to CRM folks to save people on that cusp of churn that you were just talking about?
It's like I would A/B test it with a new feature, new product, something like all these HBO and Netflix, like newest Young Sheldon episode is out, come back. So that would make me come back.
And finally, we've been talking about it. You know, CRM is about seeing things from a different perspective. You see it from the perspective of the user. You're looking at different data. You're checking user behavior. What is your one rule of thumb to align both for the best results?
Be the voice of a user in a company. Like remind yourself and everyone else that we are here for the. Like if there weren't any users, we wouldn't be here.
Great to have you, Jim, and also Vanessa, as always. And yeah, thanks for sharing, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.